Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to hour number four of the Pomp and Joe Show. I am Jason Mackey, in for the guys, Austin Bechtold, producing behind the glass. Start out, let's go out to the fan hotline, where we find Pirates broadcaster Bob Walk. Talk a little Buccos. Bob, how are you this afternoon?
Good. A little wet here. We've got some thunderstorms coming through, but hopefully they'll be out of here by tonight.
All right. Definitely don't need any more games delayed by weather. There's enough to get through with the Pirates right now. I want to ask you about some of the coaching staff changes as well as Spencer Horwitz, but just what was your initial reaction to Chris Truby, Gene Lamont joining the coaching staff, Mike Ribello doing some things differently? Obviously, you have a bit of a history with Gene Lamont.
Yeah, Gene Lamont is one of my all-time favorite baseball people. I've told this many times. Back when I was playing, if I had questions about baseball, why are we doing this? Why is the outfielder do this in this situation? All those kind of questions. The two guys I would always go to would be Gene Lamont and Tommy Sant. They were my guys. That's who really taught me probably more than anything else about the game of baseball with those two gentlemen. And to have Gino coming back to be an advisor to a new young manager who also knows Gene Lamont very well and apparently thinks of Gino as high as I think of Gino. So I like that. And the one thing that we've seen with Donnie over the couple of years that he was a bench coach here, he is very active out there and during batting practice, before batting practice with the infielders, and he really will be he'll be spread a little thin if he continues to do all this hands-on infield coaching and manage the team at the same time. So I think getting Truby up to kind of take that load a little bit, help out with working with the infield defensively, I think that'll help out Donnie a lot. Having somebody like that on his staff that is a good defensive coach for the infield. So that's, those two additions make a lot of sense. I think it's great that, that you got an older coach now that you have a ton of trust in. So you can ask questions about different situations, and it's a perfect scenario, really.
Yeah. Bob, I know you never managed in the major leagues, but I've heard people talk about this before. I wanted to get your perspective on it. A young first-time manager, I'd imagine that's probably helpful to have somebody who's done it before kind of looking over their shoulder, not in a negative way, but just to kind of confide in. Can you kind of speak to the role Gene Lamont might play in that regard?
Yeah, I think Gene Lamont's going to be exactly that. You go back all the way to the mid-80s, when Leland took over, it was Bill Verdon. I was locked up there for a second. Bill Verdon came on to the staff. Older manager, been around, great history with the Pirates. And he was somebody that, liked the same kind of scenario. that Leland could talk to. And so I think every young first-time manager, they need somebody there. And it needs to be somebody, too, that, you know, hopefully there's a relationship there some way. So there's somebody that they can really trust and, you know, that knows that they're looking out for them. You know, they've been there, done that. They have no more, you know, skin in the game anymore. They're just there to help you and try to, you know, give you all the knowledge that they've collected over a long, long, successful career of being a coach and a manager. I mean, Gino was, I think he was American League Manager of the Year at one point with the White Sox. He's had a lot of success, you know, himself calling the shots.
Chatting with Pirates broadcaster Bob Walk. Bob, Philadelphia tonight, there's probably going to be a roster move soon, not happening tonight. Spencer Horwitz is not going to be active for tonight's game, but I'm sure he will be activated soon. When that happens, what can the Pirates realistically expect out of Spencer Horwitz?
Well, I don't think he's a run producer RBI guy from what I understand. He's kind of a guy to get on base. So, you know, that's what you're going to look at that point. You know, a high on base average, pretty good, a real good contact hitter. I think those are his skills that he's going to, you know, show us. And you'll be looking for him to have a lot of runs scored, you know, knocking him on in if he gets on. Now, that doesn't mean also that he can't knock runs in himself. I mean, there's a lot of situations, and we've seen a ton of that in New York just recently here, to where a single in the right situation is going to win a game for you. And so it's not that, oh, he's a singles hitter, he can't help. No, he'll be on base a lot, and in a lot of situations where we need that single badly, if he's up there to the plate at that time, we've got a good chance of getting that. Now, we haven't had an opportunity to see him play. I mean, he was hurt before spring training even started. So I think we'll all be kind of anxious to get eyes on and see exactly what he is. But going on what people have told us about him, that's, I think, what we can expect. You know, and hopefully getting him in there every day with a plus bat, getting Cruz back in the lineup. I mean, that's kind of hurting right now, not having him. He's definitely got the extra base bat. So I think if you get both those guys back in there, that'd be a big help for the offense, because even though we scored four runs the other night, that was kind of neat. We got to play with a four-run lead, you know, fairly earlier in the game. But we got to do that a lot. And, you know, it's not like I think the pitching staff, you know, frets about it and they're all full of anxiety or anything like that. But they do know when every night they got their backs up against the wall because we're just not scoring any runs.
Yeah.
And that has to change. And, you know, hopefully Horowitz will help out with that. And, you know, we get Cruz back healthy, and that's going to help out with that. And, you know, maybe even Gonzalez, you can get him back out there. So there is some reason for hope that we could be a better offensive team, you know, going into the second part of this season. You know, but we're going to have to continue to pitch as well as we have, which has been extremely impressive, if we want to win a significant amount of games. The pitching can't hit any bumps.
Bob, one of the things I wanted to ask you touched on it briefly there, and maybe you'll deny this, but I'm curious, as a pitcher, and you have an offense that's not scoring a lot of runs the way the Pirates have been lately, do you have to pitch any differently? Are you thinking any differently? Like, does one mistake feel like 12? Just, you know, what's going on in a pitcher's head? And maybe it's nothing, and that's okay, too, whenever the run support is lower.
Well, you want it to be nothing. But, yeah, I mean, human nature, you are thinking about it, and maybe you do pitch a little bit earlier in a ball game, but you're always taking a chance when you do that. You know, you try to stop one single run, and you know, a leadoff double, or a guy gets to third with nobody out, and you start, you know, overthinking the situation, trying to make perfect pitches, can't give up a hit, and, you know, now you walk somebody, and then you know, you try to get a double play ball, and that goes haywire somehow. And now a blooper hits a chalk line, and you're looking up at the scoreboard, and you've given up three runs in the second inning because you were, you know, all hell bent trying to stop that one run from scoring. So as a starting pitcher, you got to be a little careful to not fall into that trap of like, we're not going to get any runs today, and I got to throw a shutout, because you set yourself up for giving up a bigger inning in, early in the game, because you're trying to pitch like it's the seventh or eighth inning. When a one, you do go the extra mile to try and stop one run. You know, if it's a one run ball game, you know, well, you obviously you have to do everything you can. You have to make perfect pitches to stop that one run from scoring. But if you're going to pitch like that, you know, in the first four innings, where you're all concerned about maybe giving up one run, well, like I said, you might be setting yourself for a trap of giving up three or four, and then you are in a big mess, because yeah, the offense hasn't had really hardly any comebacks, if any. I mean, for a long time there, I know we haven't come back from a four-run deficit yet this year. I'm sure we still have it. But you have to just bend a little bit early on and don't break. And if you give up a couple of runs in the first five innings, at least you're still in the ball game. And that's the way you got to think. And you got to really fight those thoughts and get rid of them of, I got to be perfect out here because we can't score any runs. It doesn't do you any good to think like that.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Bob, watching Don Kelly manage, it's been fun. And one of the things that I've noticed, feel free to disagree with me, but you know, he seems very intent on making things happen, you know, putting a guy in motion, pulling different levers. He's interacting with players a lot. Just what have you taken away from his managerial style so far? I know the sample size has been small, but what sort of impression has he made on you?
Well, I think everything you just said, I agree with. He wants to be aggressive. He is really going to, you know, be with the players and interact with them. And he loves getting out on the field during batting practice, making the rounds, talking to everybody. In fact, I had a little discussion with him just a couple of days ago about how that was always a hallmark, I think, with Leland. That a lot of his managing was done during batting practice when you could see him out walking around through the outfield, calling guys over to him or seeking them out. And you know, he was talking about him on something about last night or two nights ago, and or maybe what's going to happen in the tonight's game. He was really good about doing things like that. And I think that's also going to, you know, be something we see from Donnie all the time, you know, being out there, being active with the players. You know, it's a kind of a different situation than calling guys into offense and, you know, hey, close the door, come on in here. You almost feel like you're going to the principal's office when something like that happens. So you do. But when the manager just kind of walks up to you in the outfield and starts, you know, shooting the breeze with you a little bit, and then he gets to a point about something, and you know, it's way different, and it's like more of a friendlier situation, like, hey, you know, we got to get this done. We can't do like what we did two nights ago in this scenario. it's different when you're outside and he's having that conversation with you and no one else out there knows anything about it. That's different than when a coach comes out into the clubhouse and says, "Hey, Skipper wants to see you."
Yeah.
You know, that's a little different there. And there's a time for that too. There definitely is a time to get called into that office. But most of the stuff I think should be handled in a more casual way, and I think Donnie is going to be real good at that.
Bob, do they have to make a decision soon on O'Neill Cruz? I know he's been out of the lineup for the past couple. You know, if he comes back tonight, obviously no big deal. If he can't play tonight, then maybe you have to put him on the IL at this point. Just where are you at with his health?
Yeah, I think that the IL is definitely something they should have already been thinking about.
Okay.
I'm just guessing that he's telling them, he's getting better, I'm better, it feels better, but I'm not there yet, because they're kind of stringing this along, thinking any night they're going to be able to write his name into the lineup. But at some point, you might as well just, because it's only 10 games, am I correct?
Yeah, 10 days, so, and you can backdate it. So
I think it was 14 back when I was playing.
Yep.
If you're going to put somebody on the shelf for 14 days, it was a little bit bigger of a decision. But if you're going to backdate it, and it's only 10 days to begin with, then, yeah, go ahead. And you're not going to have him for a week, but now you can have somebody else, and you're not playing shorthanded. Now, it does, we're talking about a different ballgame because it's a designated hitter league now. And, you could essentially play with a two-man bench, and it's not that big of a deal. Then if, when you're having the, pinch hit three guys off the bench every night, that makes it a little tougher, but still you're playing shorthanded and the other team's not, and that gives them an advantage.
Bob Walk, Pirates broadcaster. Thanks so much, Bob. Appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure also. Hopefully we can get some runs up there tonight and, just have some fun against these guys. These Phillies are awfully good, awfully tough team, but I enjoy coming here and watching us play. And you got to beat the best if you want to get better.
Apparently, this is an interdivision rival, Bob. That's what Fox was calling this on something they put out on social media. I don't know about Pirates-Phillies being a rivalry these days. Maybe back when you played a little bit more. I'm not sure about right now.
When I played, it was like the biggest rivalry.
Yeah.
I mean, teams did not like each other at all. My very first game, there was a brawl. Everybody got out of the dugout. I mean, that was my welcome to Phillies Pirates baseball. But yeah, when you're in a different division, it's hard to keep something like that going.
Wait, your very first part of this rivalry was in a benches clearing brawl? I did not know that.
Yeah, there was a.
Did you throw any punches? Did you have any punches thrown at you?
What's that?
Did you throw any punches or have any punches thrown at you?
Oh, heck no. I was just got to the big leagues. I'm just kind of walking around out there and you kind of grab a hold of somebody on the other team maybe. And there's only about three or four guys that are really pissed during these baseball fights. Everybody else is just kind of out there,
get a dance partner.
Yeah, you can't just sit around. You got to go out there in case something does go absolutely bonkers. But yeah, most of the time you're just running out there and not doing much anything.
Okay. All right, have a good call tonight, Bob. Thanks again, man.
All right, I will see you later.
Bob Walk, Pirates broadcaster. He's the best. Great insight there. Can you imagine, Austin, your very first introduction or the introduction to a Pittsburgh-Philly rivalry, you're in a benches-clearing brawl. I can't imagine just, getting into that as a young player and seeing it and knowing what I would do.
Welcome to the big leagues, Bob. Here's a brawl just to be able to begin everything for you.
I know.
That would be challenging to navigate. And, of course, you as a new player are probably like, yeah, I would I'd rather not be any part of this and stay back.
I know.
Not be a part of that.
I know. Well, here's one. What happens the first time the Pirates have a benches-clearing brawl with Paul Skeens? You think anybody has the stones to go after? Well, obviously. He doesn't need
protecting.
He's
near him.
Gigantic.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't need any guardianship around
Skeens
him.
Skeens could throw some hands, man.
Oh, he could. There's no doubt. I could see Paul Skeens just wailing on people and just beating people up in a brawl if needed.
Man, maybe that's what the Pirates need.
Brawl.
Forget turning on the sprinklers. Need a brawl. Need a brawl.
Get these bats alive. Will that solve all the problems?
I don't think so.
Rallying up the clubhouse?
I don't know. Hey, maybe. You know what I think? I didn't have enough time to ask Bob. I could have kept him on the phone all day and just peppered him with questions. What I think is a storyline that we're going to see soon, Austin, that maybe it's a flashpoint, maybe it's not, but Bubba Chandler is going to be here before too long. I fully expect that. And I think it's going to feel complete for some of those guys in the clubhouse. And I know people listening will say it doesn't matter. It's too late. They have to hit the ball. He's not a hitter, blah, blah, blah. I understand that. From a human component though, like I do think that's going to, you know, brighten some people's days and maybe change the tenor of things in there. I hope that that's something. They do need something. I mean, I'm joking, but there's a kernel of truth to what I'm saying, that they need some sort of rallying point here. Like, they just can't slowly have this happen. This offense is not this bad. I do think there's going to be something that they, you know, snap out of it and start to figure it out and start to show some progress. Now, is the hole going to be too deep? Very possibly, because it's already very deep right now.
Well, I mean, what they have. This offense, let's not try to excuse it as good either. Like, Brian Reynolds is playing bad right now. That's one way that the offense can improve. Gonzalez and Horwitz are ways that the offense can improve. But I'm not expecting Tommy Pham to be anything or Jared Triolo to magically start hitting. Henry Davis, I still have some hope for, but I'm not holding my breath.
I mean, I expected more than they're given. Don't you think that's fair?
From who?
All of the guys you mentioned?
No, I don't expect anything from Jared Triolo with the bat.
You didn't expect more than Triolo was given thus far?
No.
Wow.
No, I don't believe in Jared Triolo as a hitter. Okay. He's hitting, what, 210 right now? He's hit, what, 220, 225 in his career? He drove in, what, 41 runs last year? Kind of did better late in the year driving in some runs when the games didn't mean much. No, I don't believe in him. Tommy Pham.
I mean, he's hitting 167. He's a 233 career hitter. I'm not saying he's an elite offensive talent. I'm just saying I expected more than 167.
No, but he's a
540 OPS, 651 career OPS.
But he's, again, a 230 career hitter. If your expectations are a little bit more than that, that guy should not be in your major league lineup.
Oh, 100%.
He's a good defender.
100%.
But he's not somebody that should be getting consistent at-bats. He's a 26-man on the I know he won a gold glove, but he's a 26-man on the roster type of player.
You're absolutely right. I don't disagree with that.
Tommy Pham is the same thing. They're playing guys who are 26 men on the roster on a consistent basis.
Yeah, they have like...
That's a problem. They have like four of those guys. Canario. Well,
I mean, the Pham signing was bad. And I was wrong. And anybody who wants to yell at me, by all means, go ahead and yell at me. I thought it was going to be a lot better than this. I thought there was going to be a personality that played in that clubhouse. And you just can't have... Nothing plays when your OPS starts the four. Everything else is moot.
I wanted them to sign Tommy Pham last year. Instead of signing, what forgettable outfielder did they sign last year? That they ended up moving on from.
Michael A. Taylor?
Yeah, him.
Yep.
Very quickly.
Yep.
Hoping that they could bank on his 20 home runs from a couple of years prior with Kansas City. Like,
there was no banking.
I was okay with Pham last offseason over Taylor. This year, though, after playing for three different teams and not really hitting, I was like, all right, fine. It is what it is. But again, no needle movers.
Yeah. Old Michael A hitting 198 this year, 619 OPS with the White Sox.
Yeah.
Not exactly burning them.
With the White Sox, another flailing team right now. At least he's not playing for Colorado.
Did you happen to catch what Miguel Andujar is doing?
With the A's?
Mm-hmm.
Last year he hit pretty well. What's he doing this year?
And this year as well, hitting 316 with the Oakland A's.
Yeah, probably should not let him go.
32 games, hitting 316, a 788 OPS.
They didn't give him much run.
They didn't.
Of a chance. And he had that one really good year in New York. What was he, fourth in the Rookie of the Year voting?
Second.
Oh, it was second?
Behind Ohtani, I think.
Yeah.
27 bombs.
He had a
bombs.
Really good year. Drove in. Ton of runs.
And he was really terrible. His first cameo up here. They sent him down, and then they just decided that he's awful. And they didn't want to give him another look. And then they eventually did at the end of the year. It was like too little too late.
And he, I think, in like six games had like five RBIs.
Yeah.
He didn't play bad.
I remember that.
He had a good, he made the most of the opportunity, and they did not want to give him another chance. I don't know why.
I know. That's one of the things I've talked about, them being stubborn, hard-headed. You know, that's one of the things that I think is a criticism of this group, that you have not been as open-minded as you should be when players change and show you things. Miguel Andujar had changed and shown you something, and you didn't give him a chance.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.